Okay.
Attention. 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 News of the day. The Iranian government still continues to tremble for the masses as unrest plagues every city and village. Irregardless of the fact that there is a new prime minister, Sharif by name, who guarantees freedom for all political movements, more civil liberties, and civil rights, the Iranian people are not satisfied, and the Shah of Iran, one of the world's worst dictators, put into power by our tax dollars through the CIA, killing a very humane prime minister in the 60s. His career is threatened for the first time since he was put in by a bloody coup. Camp David meeting between President Carter, Israel, and Egypt will be very decisive and crucial. Palestine is the heart of the question. Israel proposes peace settlements, but none are precise, and none satisfy the other major participants, namely Lebanon,
Jordan, and Egypt. Prime Minister Sarkis of Lebanon demands that the Syrian forces be given the proper backing by the United Nations, and that the United Nations rout out of Lebanon the Christian fascist militiamen that have been put there by the conquering Israelis against the will of the Lebanon people. Nicaragua. Civil war is almost ready to break out. Business owners unanimously throughout the country of Nicaragua that has been under the dictatorship of Somoza, who was put in power by U.S. imperialism 44 years ago. Businessmen are giving support throughout the country to the general strike against Somoza. The effect will be total, and civil war is expected at any time if dictator Somoza does not resign soon. The strike is totally effective. In the fourth day of the general strike in Nicaragua, businesses are closed throughout the cities and towns and countries. People of all descriptions and classes are warring with the national army. It will soon be total civil war. There has never been any more solidarity in our time of all people, left and center, and even conservative, against a dictatorship, in spite of gigantic and huge amounts of support from the United States Treasury collected from our tax dollars. Somoza will not be able to hold power. Many say of BBC and Voice of America, if he does not step down immediately, it will mean another Cuba in Central America. Should we not hope so? Soviet spacecraft is hooking up with one of the greatest scientific experiments in space, says BBC. It holds danger for the Western world, said the BBC commentator. No other comment was given. Undoubtedly, the Soviets have broken through in space technological warfare and means of defense against the imperialist nuclear threat, primarily centered in fascist Washington. Cambodia, once in the throes of a communist revolution, but the Khmer Rouge was taken over by a nationalist element that have turned Cambodia or Kampuchea into, for practical purposes, a fascist national state. That, according to Senator McGovern, Radio Moscow, Radio Sweden, have eliminated one-third of the population by hunger, torture, imprisonment, and death. All of the communist elements of the Khmer Rouge have been destroyed or have had to flee for safety. Cambodia is charging today that the Soviets are interfering in their internal affairs. Border incidents have begun. Vietnam are moving. The Vietnamese Republic, reunified Socialist Vietnam, ally of the Soviet Union, are moving in four different places into Cambodia in an operation they call liberation. Border incidents continue between Vietnam and China. Vietnam still continues to hold nearly 1 mile of Chinese territory. Mass rallies are being held throughout Vietnam against the expansionist aims of the Chinese People's Republic. Aborigines, the native blacks of Australia, have had all their land taken from them in a fascist mood in Australia that prides itself in being a capitalist democracy. The land has been taken ostensibly on the surface, that is, for use for all of the public to build hydroelectric projects. Chairman Wang, Prime Minister of the People's Republic of China, that has made magnificent gains domestically in socialism, but has a very peculiar foreign policy, or schizophrenic foreign policy, will move on to Iran next to negotiate whatever with the Shah of Iran, if the Shah is still there to negotiate, as Iran is in one hell of a state of flux. The new Pope Paul, John Paul III, has been accused of being selected by the Western nations, putting pressure on the cardinals. Many within the church say that it is not the usual democratic procedure to elect a pope within one day. The fact that he is an anti-communist, even though coming from a worker background, a community so tiny, there was only a few houses, but the Patriarch of Venice has been known for his anti-communist and Cold War rhetoric. He is not an intellectual, and many of the European nations, even in the capitalist world, accuse him of being out of date, out of touch with the needs of the world and the Roman Catholic Church, that's almost as large as the largest nation, still having 530 million active members out of 700 million. The reason for such a number of 170 million inactive is because of the Roman Catholic Church's last pope before he died taking a stand against all forms of birth control. In maneuvers that defy decency and imagination, the capitalist world, under the demagoguery and decadence of USA imperialism, has put pressure on the Olympic Committee. The secretary of the Olympic Committee has put Russia on notice that unless she handles future people that the Western world, capitalist world, insist are being tried on basis of human rights, whereas Soviet Union and even the Voice of Sweden has provided clear proof that the Soviets have convicted a mere handful, four, and all of them had CIA connections. Now, USA seems to be Brinkmanship Incorporated, on the thin edge of the nuclear line, looking over the brink, trying to influence the Olympic Committee. The Soviet Union says that they will not tolerate interference with their domestic affairs. Dollar, again, slow, in spite of USA selling so many millions of ounces of gold. The dollar continues to fall. News has brought to light that the recent strike and several other coal miner strikes of the United Mine Workers were not settled because the government was using something against the president of the United Mine Workers, President Miller. There was arm twisting by the Treasury of the United States, again, our tax dollars, being used fraudulently to put him in line so the mine workers would not get the safety measures they demanded. As you know, not long ago, 78 miners were burned alive in a mine where the rich mine owners, oil companies, most of them now that own the mine, the coal mines, the bituminous coal mines, had lobbied to such a degree in Congress that in spite of 16 inspections revealing that the mine was unsafe in Harlan County, Kentucky, they were not closed. They were not required to change the safety conditions, and 78 were burned alive. It has been common knowledge that miners have been shot down in cold blood for just striking at a number of different strikes that have occurred within the United Mine Workers. We know that when they got an honest leader by the name of Jock Yablonski, that Tony Boyle had him murdered along with high-level interest in the Mafia and the U.S. government. Corporate fascism, the last stage of monopoly capitalism, corporate fascism is coming to light more and more. Tonight we have a brief film in Technicolor that will reveal how, for a brief moment, the working class overrode racial differences in Kentucky and conducted a brave strike of the working class against the rich mine owners. All will be required to see it because of guests coming. We want you to be ably informed in union activities. Carter had to return from his adventuring vacation out in primitive country, more dangerous than ours. People like that sort of life. They're so bored by the pollution and the monotony and the racism and the hectic pace and the lack of care of the big cities that they seek adventure that almost cost him his life. But he had to return 2 days early because his deregulation of gas utilities companies, allowing gas companies, big capital, to charge whatever rate they choose, did not work out well. The compromise has not been acceptable, so he's coming back to try to work matters out. United Airline plane en route from Denver to New York has been hijacked to Vancouver, Canada. Continue with the news. Chairman Hua, as I said, will be going to Iran next. The socialist world, even the non-aligned world, is critical of China. Apparently, China is determined that nuclear war is coming, and she's doing everything she can, in consistency with her doctrine of three worlds, to aggravate the situation. The Voice of America even speaks of food aisles being full, but shopping baskets empty. The culprit spawning this fear and loathing is the double-digit inflation, with skyrocketing food prices leading the way. Although Carter has tried to reduce the food price phenomenon to a temporary aberration, the reality, said Voice of America, cannot be ignored. Overall, wholesale food prices jumped at a seasonally adjusted monthly rate of 16.4%. Beef is up 25% this month from last. At the present rate, the food buying dollar will be chopped in half by the end of the year. Relief is unlikely, said the Voice of America. Inflation now must be seen, said even Business Week, the voice of capitalism, as so deeply embedded in the foundation of U.S. society as to make the ability to erase it or eradicate it doubtful indeed. The Finance Journal of Capitalism goes on to say that the current inflationary upsurge is destroying the nation's effort to achieve solid economic growth and is wrecking the capitalist financial markets. It is difficult to see what capital is complaining about when one glances at the earnings of the major food processing and retailing corporations, particularly when we see a specter of the consumers of every city stalking the aisles of American grocery stores. President Carter has even declared it enemy number one. Businessweek is panicked by it. Newsweek sees it as a corrupter of the national morality, which wears away at the very social life and threatens the security of the nation. So why it is that something's not done when the major food processing and retailing corporations, Beatrice Foods, for example, reports profits of $47.2 million for the first quarter of 1978, up 15% from last year. Del Monte is up 19% to $11.2 million. Kraft is up 24% to $47.9 million profit. And the profits of Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea operators of A&P supermarkets jumped 134% over the first 3 months of 1978. But perhaps the comments of Tony Riza, an unemployed 52-year-old house painter on NBC, best illuminate the reason for the ruling class worry. "I'm going to eat," said Riza. "I need to eat. If I don't have food for me and my family, boom, I'm going to take it." Reach spoke to the NBC in a small grocery store in San Francisco's Tenderloin District. His remarks underscore the basic fact that is in the markets and streets of the nation's cities, and the primary effects of inflation are felt not on the pages of corporate shareholder reports, but it is causing hunger in a mass section of the U.S. population. The Tenderloin of San Francisco is just an example. It's home for many who live at the bottom of the city's economic barrel: welfare recipients, unemployed young blacks, the elderly. These are the people with fixed incomes who are squeezed tightest in the inflationary crunch that has struck America in the past weeks. As with other low-income and working-class communities, the NBC surveyed, a current of anger flowed through Tenderloin food stores, with people often volunteering and then waiting to be interviewed in order to express their resentment and frustration as never witnessed since the Depression. "Things run the same for about a month, then they're higher," said 66-year-old Joe Estes. "I can't buy meat anymore. It's too expensive." "I don't have any meat at all, man. Do you hear me? I used to be able to eat out once in a while. Now I can't eat out at all anymore." Estes lives alone in a small hotel room and cooks on a hot plate. His Social Security, his SSA and SSI check just isn't enough to feed him. "I use my old peanut butter jars for other things after they're empty," he says. "And the other day, I noticed an old one with the price stamped on the lid. Then I looked at a few other lids and compared. The price just kept up steady, going up, you know. I'd like to take those lids and put them all in a row with the prices going up and frame them. Then I'd donate them to the museum. I'd call it my life in slow starvation." All those Social Security payments are periodically adjusted, so-called, to somewhat compensate for the effects of the high inflation that endangers breaking the U.S. economy. Most private pensions are not. The average 65-year-old, male or female retiree, lives for another 13.2 years. Women live slightly longer, with an annual rate of 5% inflation minimum, which looks like it'll be more than 15% this year, promises to be about double that. In other words, 15% will be triple that. The real value of a pension check will be cut by 39% in only this year.
Those who are 65 years and older already pay more than 66% of their income for the barest of necessities to keep them alive, and this percentage is steadily and frighteningly increasing. These people have scuffled and worked and put money away all of their lives, and now this money means nothing, exclaims Floyd Stone, interviewed in an Oakland market. Stone, who has a job as a park maintenance worker in Oakland, California, lives in one of the city's many welfare hotels, reports the NBC. He spoke to the NBC over a small dinner of spaghetti and white bread. Most of my food I now buy in cans that are bent, and sometimes they're spoiled. I used to go to Lucky or Safeway, and I'd spend $50 and have enough for almost the whole month, said the white retiree. Now I go and spend $22, and it only lasts me 2 or 3 days. And he still has a job as a park maintenance worker. So either you cut down or do without and starve. Everybody in the hotel here has changed their eating habits. Now we're eating bouillon at best, instant oatmeal, hostess cakes, our instant breakfast where we used to get eggs, bacon, and sausage. We can't afford them anymore. We often eat cornmeal. You start buying carbohydrates instead of protein. You have to. There's no money. This is a pattern alluded to repeatedly by people surveyed throughout the United States by Mutual Broadcasting Company. Expensive dairy and meat products are by necessity passed over by all of the American public in favor of less costly starches that have no mineral value and cause slow starvation. Beef, a commodity which has functioned as a principal source of meat protein for people in the United States of America, according to BBC, is now rising in price at an extremely fast clip. Hamburger, which sold for 85 cents a pound last year, now cost about $1.35 a pound, and will rise to a $1.75 range by the end of the year, according to economist Tommy Beal of Cattle Facts, the marketing service of the National Cattlemen's Association. Beal also predicts that choicer cuts that are selling now of beef burger for $2.20 will be up to an increase of $1.45 a pound, meaning that it will be $3.65 for beef burger by the end of the next year, by the end of this year. But the real bad years for consumers will be 1979 and 1980 on through 83 if there's not a nuclear war, comments Beal, economist. During those years, more cattle will be kept off the market to serve as breeding stock. Hamburger supplies will be especially tight at this time because that particular cut of meat is taken from older cows. Everything is so high and just keeps going up and up and up, says Ella Benson, a 45-year-old practical nurse interviewed in Los Angeles, predominantly Watts District. I got a job, a good job, and my husband's got a good job, but us and our kids still not live not even decent, just halfway decent. We go to bed hungry. I think there's going to be much more robbery and ripping off. People are going to eat. We can't starve and watch our children starve. The United States is still a long way from open class warfare, says Businessweek. But Businessweek said in a recent issue, but many people worry about what could happen if inflation remains at anything approaching present levels. The magazine goes on to warn, the voice of capitalism, Business Week, now the economic outlook is clouded. Inflation is no longer waning or going down, and this country could be heading into the worst period of economic and social revolution and dislocation since the Civil War. Sitting in a squalid
Fillmore Hotel, with the half-light of a fading day filtering through the window. Floyd Stone agrees. It's coming to a head, he says, and it's going to get serious. Already there's robbery in every block, every day, every night, but there'll be riots, and there'll be more robberies. There'll be demonstrations. The struggle is about power between the rich and the poor, and they don't have enough national guards or armies to guard everything. It's coming down, said Floyd Stone of the Fillmore, and it's about one thing, and that's the whole thing, power, which is now in the hands of the rich, but has to be put in the hands of the poor. Well, indeed, there is an awakening, somewhat of a class consciousness, but in a nuclear age technology, where there's all sorts of mass weaponry and neutron bombs that the Army and U.S. government jokingly calls nigger bombs, it's very easy to control the ghettos while they starve. If they get out of control, drop the neutron bomb, destroy all living things, and save the property. Remember, no matter who comes or what they may ask of you, tell them that you are very happy. Tell them you want no letters. If someone wants to write to you, they can send it to you in the mail. Tell them that you are happy here, and under no circumstances would you consider going back to the United States. Certainly only a fool would, when we not only have the great security of this vast land and region, which Margaret Mead, the world's greatest anthropologist, said was the only safe place on land surface from nuclear war. Then we have the support and promise of the great Soviets and their underground cities offering us a haven should we need it. Religion is the backbone of the rich in the United States. In a surprising comment by a CBS commentary, not only is religion the backbone of the Afrikaner who holds the black man in virtual slavery, and has so for more than a century. Religion is not the expression of Christian love, but the maintenance of white privilege. All over the world, Christendom has enabled the white man to oppress and keep the poor man down, and even the ruling class rich to keep the poor white down, by giving him contentment that he will have heaven when he dies. In South Africa, for instance, the Baptist Church, three denominations attended by 50% of the country's white population, are the spiritual justification of the worst form of slavery, apartheid, and all-embracing ideological force. Church laws forbid shops, theaters, cinemas, bars, or amusement parks to be open on Sundays. No organized sport may be played are integrated. Charges against violators are brought not only by the courts, but by the church. The church has an involuntary control, a dictatorial, fascist control on your life, said the CBS report. A young Afrikaner advertising executive was being interviewed. There was balance, of course, saying he was wrong, as Voice of America could not admit that they were indeed a part of a system where religion is the opiate of the people, not only the opiate, but the backbone of slavery. This Afrikaner, white man, described himself as detribalized. His father is an elder in the Baptist Church. God is secondary in the church's scheme of things, said he. The church dictates a code of fascist ethics rather than of spirituality or human goodness. The executive grew up in an Orthodox Calvinist Baptist home, a reformed home, where prayer was a rigorous scheduled nightly exercise. Prayer classes took up three afternoons a week. Sunday school was obligatory and was followed by a two-hour preaching service. My father rationalized the slavery and suppression of the blacks as God's will and justified it by the scripture in the Bible, that in God's eyes, the blacks were always slaves, subordinate. Both my father and mother actually believe there's no discrimination in this country, Union of South Africa, that's upheld by monopoly capitalist money and our tax dollars. It is while studying philosophy at an English-speaking university that the executive became disaffected with the church and with apartheid. The white Afrikaner way of life and the Afrikaner Baptist Church Calvinism go together, said Dr. Francis Gelnheis, director of ecumenical affairs of Die Rijdoet Gereformde Kerk, the main branch of the Calvinist or Baptist and Reformed Church. There are two things you can't fight in this country: the Nationalist Party, which is fascist, and the Calvinist or the Baptist Church. In an interview with CBS, Gelnheis stressed the Afrikaner's white sense of divine mission. It's part of the great unfolding plan of God that we weren't just put on the southern part of this continent by accident. He said it was historically our duty to bring the light of the gospel to the dark continent of Africa. Of course, all the writers, even the best regarded writers, call Africa the dark continent, but it was the most enlightened continent, where the first civilization began, where in Timbuktu, when no other men existed, when only black and brown men existed, Timbuktu were giving smallpox vaccinations, making false teeth, and doing complicated eye surgery. Although the church quotes biblical passages to prove that God wanted the black man put down and separation of the races, it now prefers to justify racist slavery, apartheid, by historical reasons and practical necessities. This is certainly a bad scene. Religion, as Marx said, is the opiate of the people. New York Times, in a very conservative editorial, praises Margaret Thatcher, who is expected to be the next Prime Minister of England. The leader of the Conservative Party, Mrs. Margaret Thatcher, has called for a curtailment of non-white immigration. She declared that people are really rather afraid that this country might be swamped by people of different race and culture. The Liberals all but went mad with the headline of the Sunday Times in London declaring, "How could Margaret Thatcher do it?" On the other hand, the Daily Mail's headline bannered, "Maggie's got it right," said the New York Times, one of the bastions of U.S. capitalism. The press, the U.S. newspapers and television, is nothing but the arm of the ruling class, as I've always said, that reach out first to try to crush you like they did us, and have successfully, the Black Panthers and Sinanon, but they have not succeeded with us. We are still here, an avant-garde, as the Soviets would say in their language.